couple of weeks, we've been preaching on things that have to do with our Christian walk. We've been talking about godliness. We're talking about getting help. We've been talking about not having a hard heart. This morning we talked about having daily regimens in our lives that would help us to spiritually grow. That we need to renew our inner man day by day, because that defines us. And we need to let God define us and not ourselves. We need to be dedicated to daily read God's Word, because it will give us direction. It will keep us from sin. It will show us God's will for our lives. And when we read God's Word, we should pray to Him, because that's how we communicate to Him. And it shows that we have dependence on Him. We have dependence to seek His will for our daily provision, for our spiritual walk, for our own protection, and for others. And if we do renew our inner man, and if we do read God's Word and we hide it in our heart and we pray, we can't help but praise Him for all the things that He's done. He's daily loaded upon us benefits. And we need to make that part of our daily life, is to praise Him in all things. And everything give what? Thanks. And then we should lift one another up, and we should encourage people to come and seek God. We pray for these. But if you have personal interactions during the week, we need to encourage them to even go beyond just the prayer. And we need to exhort one another today, as the verse says. And then lastly, and that shows the need for discipleship, and we all need to be discipled. Paul did a wonderful job of discipling Timothy and Titus. And then lastly, we need to bear our cross daily. What God has specifically equipped us and created us to do in Him, we need to do that. We need to deny ourselves and take our cross daily and follow Him. We can't do that. And that's a decision that we have to make. We need to dare to be a Daniel. We need to dare to stand when others won't. Don't base your faith on how others do. Don't be average. Be the best you can be for God. Tonight, I want to talk about the concept of a promise. And then eventually we're going to get to seven things that we should promise to do based on a good daily walk with God. And, you know, promises are a dime a dozen. There are politicians that will make promises just to get people to elect them, and they have no intention of keeping them. They have forgotten what the definition is. The world and even Christians have forgotten what definitions are. And so what is a promise? It's a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing, or that particular thing will happen. How many of you here have broken promises? Oh, we all have. We all have. But that's the noun part of it. The verb has two parts. When you promise something to someone, you're going to assure them that you're going to definitely do, give, or arrange something. Faithful is He that calleth you. He will do it. We need to be like that. We have the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God, to undertake or declare that something will happen. And then lastly, it gives an expectation on the person that you're making the promise to. It's basically giving them good grounds for expecting that it's going to happen, and that we're going to follow through. You know, promises are meaningless unless kept. You know what? If they're not kept, the Bible calls them vain words. Sometimes vain janglings. But promises are meaningless unless they're kept. And you know, we go through all sorts of, oh, we'll make a pinky promise. And we'll do all these things. Yep. We're going to do it. And then all of a sudden, we don't. Folks, when we want to keep promises, we need to look at the promise keeper. God is the promise keeper. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, for all, how many? All. The promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Folks, we're examples of God's promise. We're examples of God's promise. And He determines when He makes a promise, He's going to keep it. And I'm so glad that God's not an Indian giver. I'm so glad that God doesn't break His promise like everyone else. I am so glad that God is constant. God the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You know, there are five declarations of promise to the believer. Five declarations. We can bank on these things. The first one's found in John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's a promise. God's promise that we believe in Him and we have a relationship. He will raise us up.
Amen.
I don't have to hope for it. I know it's going to happen. The second one, Matthew 11, 28. He gives us rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The third one, John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
See, here's the point. The first two take action on our part. It takes seeing the Son and believing on Him. It takes coming unto Him and trusting that God will give us rest. The fourth promise that God gives us is John 14, verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a promise from God. It's God Himself. Because in Him, all the promises of God are what? Yay. And then lastly, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, once again, a requirement on our side. Be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, God determined that He was going to make all these promises to us because He loves us. And He wants us to use Him as the standard for keeping promise. And He makes these wonderful promises to us that only He can make. There's a lot of people that try to make promises about giving you peace, or make promises about giving you wealth, or make promises about giving you satisfaction or being content, and they can't deliver unless they're God. And because of this, it should have an effect on us. It should drive us to follow Him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature. If you don't take part of God's promise, you have no part with Him. Have no part with Him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So this morning, I gave us six things to do in our spiritual walk. And tonight, I want to share seven things that we should make a promise, that we should stand on for us as believers. And we'll quickly go through this tonight. We're going to get out here early tonight. But this is a great list. You know, because we trust in His promises, I will trust and not be afraid. Amen. You know, God's promises are such that we can bank on them. Because in all of His promises are yea. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you all these things. But you know, oftentimes, a promise given might not ever be received to a point that we would actually believe on it. And tonight I want to encourage us that we will actually believe on the promises of God so much that we will trust Him and not be afraid. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, Behold, God is my salvation. And if He is not your salvation tonight, you don't have it. There is salvation and none other. For there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Behold, God is my salvation. I know where I'm going. I know God is my salvation. Do you know? Do you know enough that you will trust in Him? Do you know enough that you will not be afraid in Him? I will trust and not be afraid. Amen. Why? For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. You know, how many times have we tried to do something that was well beyond our capability? And we have failed miserably. We thought we were stronger than we were, and we broke it because we couldn't hold it up. God Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. It goes into what we're supposed to do daily. We're supposed to praise. We're supposed to praise. He has also become my salvation. Wait a second. He starts the verse with this. That is I understand. But the last part is, I live it. And folks, we need to live our salvation out. Because if you're living your salvation out, you're trusting Him. And if you're living your salvation out, you don't care what man will say or do unto you. And so the first thing we need to promise is that I will trust and not be afraid. That requires loving Him. In John chapter 4, He says that perfect love casteth out fear, for fear has torment. Are you tormented tonight? You need to love God more. You need to know Him. You need to trust in Him. You need to believe that He can do what He says He will do in His Word. And so the first, I will trust and not be afraid. Secondly, can't see it now. I will bless the Lord. Another thing that we said that comes into the daily habit of praise to God. In Psalm 34 verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, there are times that we get into situations where we don't really feel like talking about to God that much. Probably comes to that about every day. But the psalmist here, David, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means what? All times. He says, His praise shall continually. Wait a second. What does that mean? all the time. Be in my mouth. Folks, God is the omniscient, omnipotent God, all-powerful God. He's not one to be put into a box and put up on the shelf. And you take him out when you need him, and you put him back when you don't. I will trust the Lord and not be afraid. And I'm going to bless him how many times? All times. And his praise is going to be continually in my... In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So I will trust and not be afraid. We need to make that promise tonight. We need to make the promise, I will bless the Lord tonight. Folks, if we make these promises, we will do the six characteristics of walking daily with Him. We will not be average. We will not be average. Thirdly, I will love Thee, O Lord. In Psalm 18, verse 1, he says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. See, this verse puts things in perspective. You know, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lived me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, we sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Is he your strength? See, it's not about what I can do. It's about what God can do with me. What God can do through me. It's what God can do through my inner man, which defines me. And I need to bless the, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Because he daily loads us with benefits. So I will trust and not be afraid. I will love thee, O Lord. Okay? We need to get clear understanding on this one as a church, as individuals. I will keep thy statute. You know, a lot of people say that, we're under grace. And in my class on Sunday morning, we've been going through Romans chapter 6. And the first question is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Shall we continue to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There's two questions there. And people think that they can say, I love Jesus and I'm going to heaven and live my own life. And that is not the case. The same God that gave the Ten Commandments is the same God to send his Son down to die on the cross. He says, I change not. And let me give you a statement. What was wrong in the Old Testament is still wrong today.
Amen.
No matter what you think, you are frustrating the grace of God if you're doing your own thing. It's still wrong to kill. It's still wrong to lie. It's still wrong to steal. But Christians do it all the time. And it's just a white lie. It's just a little sin. Folks, If we're guilty in one small part of the law, we're guilty of it all. And if we're going to daily walk with Him, we need to keep His statutes. In Psalm 119, verse 140, I cried with my what? Whole heart. See, the other thing is that people think that they can be a Christian and not give all their heart to God. It's called surrender. If you haven't surrendered your heart, then you can't sing the song, I surrender all. Because you don't mean it. It's a promise that we need to make. And a promise that is not kept is not a promise. They're just empty words. And folks, my Bible tells me in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, be holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And be ye separate. My Bible tells me that. And if you're doing something that is contrary to God's word, stop it. Christ died on the cross for your sins. He told everybody that He met. He told the woman that was taken in adultery. He says, I condemn you not. Go and sin no more. It is time to start living a holy life separated unto God. I cry with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I want everybody to read this. I will keep thy statutes. If it's in God's word, we need to do it. You know, there's the working part of salvation, and this is it right here. Because when you have Christ, you have the capability of walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And if you say you can't stop from sinning, then you aren't Spirit controlled. And you need to fix that tonight. Amen. I will keep thy statutes. Fifth, all these things are precursors for the next one. I will walk before the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people. See them at work. You see them at school. You may even have competition between your kids. There's maybe one or two that will sit there and they'll be visible in front of mom and dad, or visible in front of the site manager, or visible before them. See me? And they talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. And all they are is what we call men pleasers. We should walk as if Christ is coming back today. We should walk in a way that He would not be ashamed, and we would not be ashamed if He just appeared. That's how you walk before the Lord. Walking before the Lord sets God as our goal. We're studying the book of Colossians. Set your affection on things above, not on things. And that has a condition. If ye be then risen with Christ, then you can do this. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Because my Bible tells me if I'm walking in sin, I'm dead to God. And I'm the servant of unrighteousness. And when I can't do that, when I'm doing those things, I'm free from the law of God. But my Bible also tells me in Romans chapter 6, if I'm walking in righteousness, I am free from sin. That an old man is crucified with Him. That we are buried with Him by baptism and His death. That like as Christ was raised up by the glory of God, even so we should walk in what? Newness of life. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Walk as if you're living and not dead. Dead trees don't bring forth fruit. We need to be fruitful. And so I will walk before the Lord. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the sixth one is, I will praise thee. Every time I look at Leah, I see God's wonder.
Amen.
Because she baffles doctors.
Yep.
Say, you can't live like this. But don't dismiss what God can do.
Amen.
Every one of us in here is fearfully and wonderfully made. I even like my ears. Although I can't hear like I could in the past. But he says, I will what? I will praise thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Consider the effort that God did to make you, you. All the plans, and he knew it before you were even a glimmer of a thought. It says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth what? Right well. That means you know what right is, you know what right does, and you'll do it because you know it well. You don't know about it, you don't think about it, you live it. And folks, we are His righteousness in Christ Jesus. So I will praise thee. And lastly, we all need to get a little bit of help in this one. My wife tells me I get ornery at times. Okay?
No.
But you know something, what we need to do? We've studied the book of James. And James says that we need to walk. We need to seek His wisdom. We need to do true faith. We need to keep our tongue under control. We have to do all these things. We talked about Daniel this morning as three friends. I think they're great examples of behaving wisely before the Lord. Even when confronted with something that would throw them into the fiery furnace or throw them in a lion's den, they still did right. Nehemiah. Just look at how Nehemiah wisely did things. And every time he came up to a decision, he prayed to God. Help me. Think of Ezra. Think of how Jeremiah and Isaiah lived their lives. And Elijah. And Elijah. Look at how they all did this. I will behave myself wisely. Psalm 102 verse 2. 101 verse 2. Says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. See, in order to behave yourself wisely in a perfect way, it has to be God's way. Because if it's our way, it's going to be what? It's going to be imperfect. Oh, when will thou come unto me? And this is my prayer for us tonight. What we do in here needs to be done out there. And what we do in here needs to be done in our house. The Bible says, I will put no wicked thing before my eyes. So when you go to your house, do you put wicked things before your eyes? Well, no one sees. Then you don't have character. Because even though your friends may not see, and your fellow church members may not see, God sees. And we need to be better than average. We need to have character. We need to do our best for God. And it says, I will walk. Everyone read this tonight. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's a heart that's in tune with God. And folks, that's the key. If we can't do it when we're all alone, we can't do it when we're in front of people. And we need to live, we need to behave ourselves wisely and walk before God with a perfect heart. I'll leave you this last verse. In Psalm 61, verse 8, it says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Here we go again. That I may daily perform my vows. See, God takes promises seriously. And he says, if you make a vow, defer not to pay it. These are things that we should do because of what God's done for us. Because wherever I have given us so great and exceeding great promises, that we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world and its corruption and lust. It should cause us to live differently. We need to trust and not fear. We need to bless the Lord. We need to behave ourselves wisely. We need to do all seven of these things. So is there a promise that you say, I try this and it won't work. And it doesn't work. And I keep on breaking my promise. Try again. A righteous man falls seven times and gets himself up again. You can do it through Christ, because I can do all things through Christ. Strengthen me. Have you made a promise to God and not kept it? Fix that tonight. Something motivated you to make that promise. Probably God did. And we should not live our life to God as broken promises. But as God, all of His promises are yea, all of our promises to Him should be yea also. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation, Father, search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, to do what You want us to do. Help us, Lord, to walk before You, to trust and not be afraid, to bless You, to love You, to praise You, to behave ourselves wisely, to believe on You. Give us a new heart tonight. Change us, Lord. And we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.